Hi, my name is Mark Schweigert. I'm a developer evangelist in Microsoft U.S. public sector. That basically means that I work with government customers and partners that do work for the U.S. government. We're here with Barrico Taylor Systems to talk about a product called Snaggle that they've built that uses Silverlight 2.
I'm Gavin Zuklinski. I'm the original developer on Snaggle.
Sean Lane, president of BTS.
Todd Herman, another developer on Snaggle.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about BTS and specifically the product Snaggle?
Okay, yeah, so BTS, we were really born out of a services company that started in 2006. Primary client there was the government. 90% of our guys had top secret clearances, worked some really hard projects, took on some really neat things in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, kind of revolutionizing the way we do business, revolutionizing the way we look at data and how we store it and how we access it. Some of the skunkworks projects that our services engineers came up with have really become products now in BTS. One of those was Snaggle. So Snaggle kind of started as an idea of a way to visualize data in a thin client manner, to keep that data alive by connecting into a database, and to do some really neat analytics to call down what you thought was the most important nodes in your data. We took that in 2007 and really brought it into the fold of the product company, and by 2008 we had it as an actual product inside of BTS, and we've successfully sold it and installed it and integrated it into a couple government client networks. Right now it's on a classified network, the United States Army, and we're moving forward into several different areas in the client space. So BTS itself, we've been around since 2007. 2008 we became an official company, so we're our sister company does services. We do products. We have about 10 guys. About half of those are engineers. The other half are business guys. And we're just a small group of go-getters that try to take commercial technology and apply it to some government challenges.
Great. Well, why don't we start off by taking a look at Snaggle and seeing what it's all about.
So Snaggle is a graph visualization tool. A graph is really just a bunch of nodes, like these ones here, connected together in some way through edges. Snaggle itself is really data independent. We have it sitting on top of SQL Server databases, MySQL databases, or just files that are sitting on a computer somewhere that we're able to parse and extract different attributes and linkages out of. This one we can actually use on non-linked data sets. Like we put it on top of a MLS, a set of records from the multiple listing service, and then extracted the different attributes between there, and then used the attributes themselves to pull information out and connect the nodes together. So it's a really nice, light, easy-to-use tool to extract information from data sets. We liked Silverlight a lot because it allowed us to put everything in the browser. You can see it's all sitting inside Internet Explorer. And quickly and easily show some of the statistics about these nodes and show different ways to lay them out. Like what we're seeing here is this network layout of it, which tries to use the connections between the nodes and come up with a very organic layout. In this case, it's using a really customized version of a force-directed layout to show the structure at a quick, easy way. So even if you zoom out, you can quickly see what's connected together. Silverlight, the performance of it, let us do a lot of fun things like having these different layouts, which can actually be really computationally intensive. Some of the easier ones are like tree layout and circular layout, but once you get into the nodes trying to figure out the optimal way to lay themselves out, it's a very difficult problem. And then we also use Silverlight to iterate through everything in the data set and quickly search for what's some information behind these nodes, like just finding all the nodes that contain the name Gavin. And quickly go between everything like that again. So one of the hopes with Snaggle was that we would have some way to visualize not only the attributes, I mean the structure that's within a graph, but also the attributes behind there. So when we're doing searches, we're quickly searching through all this metadata behind a node. In this case, you'll see things like A node has a date, a lat long point, a name, a ranking, so it has date, times, geographic information, strings, and numbers, and there's all these different ways to look at that data. You could look at a date as a series of numbers. You could look at a date as weekly time frame, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you can also look at date as in just the way that we normally look at it, a date. So using this, we're able to do some clustering on here. So if you wanted to take a look at all the people of a certain name, within that name was a certain similarity to each other, we do this using edit distance. We can do that quite quickly within Silverlight. It lets us calculate these distances between each and every node and then summarize over this data set and figure out which nodes should be grouped together based off of that attribute. And if we zoom in here, we can see that all the nodes within this one maroon cluster are named Guy. And then you can quickly switch between these, cluster by name, plus a lat long, or anything else like that. And then once you group those things together, clustering by name, you can filter down and only view just those nodes if you want. So it really lets you dig deeply into these different data sets. And while we're doing this, everything that we're doing is being versioned. In this revision tree, we're taking a really non-linear look at how people work. In Microsoft Word, you can go forward and you can undo backward in time, but that's about it. What we do is we take a look and we figure the person can go forward in time, and then if they want to jump back in time, in this analytic workflow, just what they've done isn't necessarily useless. So we have full fidelity over that. Once you go down to a certain point, if you want to jump back in time, we just branch a new tree and still let that information exist in there. This lets us do some interesting things with collaboration too, because we're sitting inside the browser on top of some other data source, still connected back to a server. So other users can be on that server at the same time, and if one person wants to share with another, they can share with that person. They can see exactly what we're doing at that time, and then they can also go off and start a new branch without destroying any of our work. And if we decide, we can jump over and start working on their branch as well. So you can see that Silverlight let us do a lot of great things with performance. If we go back and remove this clustering to get the straight out structural view of this, with the clustering we got a structural view that was influenced by the metadata that's behind there. We can also do some more advanced structural analysis on here, doing statistics like eigenvector centrality to figure out who the most important actors are within the structure of the graph. So if you wanted to find who the major communicators are and who had the most influence over, just based off of the relationships between people, you can do that quite easily. And then we also try to quickly summarize this data set so that you can see that these major actors all have a really similar ranking, which in this case makes sense because it's an inferred attribute, something that's calculated on the fly. But then they also have a relatively similar date that's happening in these reports. So you can use this to have the data really tell you about itself. So like clustering takes a look at the attributes and tries to come up with some sort of structure based off of data that you really don't know anything about. This structural statistic will also take a look at the structure and try to tell you who the important people are without really needing to know much about the background information on this. So it takes these computationally intensive tasks and puts them in the hand of the user on this. And then because it's out here on the client, we're offloading a lot of this work from the server. Some other fun things, like we can go full screen with this, we can export out to different files, we can import data in here and all have it go back to that same server that the users are looking at. So we're analyzing data from some server and connected back there. One of the other interesting things we can do is when you're doing whatever your search is, you can also take a look and be notified whenever new data comes in that matches whatever your original search criteria was. So in this case, suppose you're taking a look at some data source somewhere that has these folks coming in and being identified in real time. You can have them pop up into your screen as you're doing your search and be notified and react to real-time events. And with all of this, all those statistics that we saw before, the eigenvector centrality, the different types of clustering, can all be recalculated on the fly and react to this new data popping into your screen at that time. It's actually really, really cool.
Great. Well, thanks for that demo. Why don't you give us a little bit of background as to the sort of the genesis of Snaggle and what motivated you to create it in the first place?
Sure. So within Barrico, most of the employees have some kind of government experience. A lot of people are military, done a lot of tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, a lot of intelligence work, things pertaining to that. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted a tool that allowed commanders to be able to make decisions very quickly based off of what they knew about a network. The tools that existed out there were mostly made for presentation, so it would give you the ability to present your investigation after you've done your investigation. You would look at a lot of different factors, put together information in a graph, and then put it in a PowerPoint. What we wanted to do was have a tool that was thin client and that used latest and greatest of technology to perform a lot of the analytics within the browser, within the graph itself, to be able to see things that you wouldn't normally see just by looking at data. If you think about like an operations center that could be in Iraq or Afghanistan, and you think about all the different networks that the military is interested in, from terrorist networks, insurgent networks, government networks, and you think about all the data that persists in those environments, we wanted something where at a glance, a commander or any other soldier could look at the data and determine if there's any activity and what kind of activity was going on within that network. So if you think about these big screens in an operations center, we wanted those screens to have a network on it, a network graph, and then stay live and stay dynamic. So if anything occurred within that network, it could be visualized very quickly on the screen. And really, that's why we made Snaggle. And what we've learned by making Snaggle is that there's more than just a military intelligence application. We've seen, you know, I've used it personally to do real estate, to find my house. We can use it for a lot of different applications. It really doesn't matter what data we use. It's really the power of the graph and the analytics embedded inside the graph.
It's really just a different way to visualize some data, like with the legal data, being able to explore and extrapolate information from a connected data set.
Yeah, really interesting that we went to the process of patenting Snaggle, and we went to the law firm to get a patent, and the legal team that we worked with actually came to us and asked if they could use Snaggle on subpoenaed court data that they had on emails. And kind of like in the Enron case, everybody saw the emails from Enron, if we could use those Snaggle to basically call through thousands and thousands of emails to find out who are the most important players in the organization, who are the decision makers, who influence decisions the most. And so we did. We helped them out. We ran it through Snaggle. And I think that there's a lot of value in being able to do this very quickly in a graph, in a visual way. But, you know, Snaggle didn't start out. It didn't start out with Silverlight 2. It didn't start out where it is right now. It actually had a different history.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about, you know, where you guys started from. You know, as you mentioned, you started before Silverlight, and you were trying to achieve some pretty interesting visualizations within the browser. Can you kind of walk us through that all the way to Silverlight 2 now?
Yeah, so we originally started before Silverlight came out. It was a JavaScript and SVG visualization to be able to show these networks in the browser. We had success visualizing it, but we're really limited by the amount of data that we could show and the types of analysis we could do. Within the browser, there's huge performance limitations, and also rendering was really slow. That started around March of 2007. In May of 2007, Silverlight came out at the Mix conference, and we were finally able to do managed code. This led us to try doing the managed code within the browser, which gave us huge performance improvements. With JavaScript and SVG, we were maxed out at around 50 to 100 nodes. With when Silverlight 1.1 alpha came out, and being able to do that almost compiled code, it bumped up to between 500 and 1,000 nodes that we were able to do. And now with the latest versions of Silverlight, we're actually at around 1,000 to 5,000 nodes that we can comfortably handle within the client's browser. So in May 2007, within a couple of days, we prototyped and moved over everything that we had in JavaScript over into C# and Silverlight. After that, we realized the power that we had with being able to do these different network layouts within the client browser really, really quickly, and expanded on to being able to do different types of analysis, like clustering analysis, being able to look at that metadata behind the nodes, and figure out how is this type of data similar to each other, and now that we know this type of data is similar to each other, put related items closer together so that you can visually see the overlying structure of the graph as defined by the metadata behind there. And since we have that too, we're able to bring into that the structural analysis with the metadata analysis. So common social network analytic measures like eigenvector centrality, trying to marry that with some of the metadata analysis, like the clustering, to achieve some just remarkable things within a browser that we'd have never imagined of doing within JavaScript. In summer of 2007, we prototyped a lot more of these, and this was really an internal research and development project. And as it progressed and we realized more and more of these capabilities, we started to bring in other people to expand on, say, the visuals of it and give it a really polished look like a real product. So then Todd came in and joined us, focusing on the graphics part of Silverlight. What were some of your initial experiences with that?
Yeah, that was definitely my first. I mean, I had limited experience working on the web, and so Silverlight being brand new, resources were extremely limited on learning the new language, really, when you think of it. Yeah, C# is used, but on the front end, on the design end, there's XAML, and XAML was very new. I haven't used XAML before. I used it a little bit in WPF, but the control you had over the interface made it pretty easy. Being able to work, if you look at ASP.NET and the controls, it's similar to the build where you have the front end and the back end, where the front end is HTML. But the controls for that are very locked down. You can't override anything, really. If you need something new, you have to create it from scratch.
Hey, in that first version, there weren't even controls.
No. In the beginning of Silverlight 1, I guess you only had a canvas.
We had a canvas and a rectangle, I think.
Canvas and rectangle. It was as we started working with, as we got into the betas of Silverlight 2 coming out from beta 1, beta 2, all the way to the RM, controls did start trickling in. I think we were introduced to button grid, which is, to me, the equivalent of the HTML table.
Yeah, so once Silverlight 2 came out, what was that, spring of 08?
Eight.
Somewhere around there? Yeah. It changed the way that we were working with Silverlight. They did major enhancements on the API behind there, which cleaned up a lot of the division that we had. Yes. Todd focusing mostly on the UI, me focusing mostly on the back end and underlying algorithms in there. It cleaned up that separation. It really cleaned up how XAML interacts with the C# code. Yes. And made it actually convenient that we could develop in XAML.
Yes.
So Todd, you actually have a pretty interesting story, being an early adopter. Yes. and you know, trying to tackle some of those challenges. You went about an interesting way of getting answers to some of your problems.
I did the typical Google search, and just like I said, there's limited information. I mean, it was so new, everybody was asking the same questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? I decided to take a long shot, and one of the websites I frequented most often was Scott Guthrie's blog site. And I decided, you know what, he's got his email address posted there. Let me send him an email and see what happens. And surprisingly, I was very surprised, but he was extremely responsive. I mean, within a day, sometimes even within hours. He did respond. He typically didn't answer it. He was very good at delegating. But he would always just send an email back to me with the appropriate head of whatever division was could resolve the bug we were dealing with at that time. He would pull them into the chain and say, you know, help this person out. And, you know...
Yeah, we found some really strange bugs at first in Silverlight. Like, I was wondering why setting render transform equal to itself again would fix a bug. So Todd was like, forget this. I'll just go to the master. And Scott Guthrie pointed us in the right direction. And we had that figured out within a week. They figured it out. And I think pushed the fix into the next release then.
It ended up getting into the RC or RTM, I believe. We had a couple situations like that. I ran into a few of them relating to certain XAML things not working with some of the controls as expected, and those usually got fixed within the RC RIM as well.
Great. So why don't you guys talk to us a little bit about the sort of the overall architecture of Snaggle, how it works, and talk a little bit about what ultimately Silverlight did for you in terms of giving you more than what you had.
Okay, so Snaggle started out as just a standalone component to do that visualization, so it was just that Silverlight visualization bit. As we expanded and realized that we needed a lot more capabilities even on the server side to persist some things and enable collaboration between people, we called on ASP.NET 3.5, and we have the backend coded in ASP.NET 3.5, which calls out to our other data sources, which actually compose the graph. And then that goes back and creates this HTML page with JavaScript that interacts with our Silverlight component, enabling us to customize it very easily on client sites. So I can just sketch something out real quickly. So we have multiple data sources. So these will be, depending on what client we have, it could be anything from certain database containing information about people and targets, combined with some other more processed analytic reporting. And with this architecture, we're able to marry up just some different databases all together into the same visualization area. So these go together into the server. Running ASP.NET 3.5. The databases themselves are not tied to anything Microsoft, could be Oracle, could be anything. And then this goes back to the client, shows them that HTML page containing our JavaScript that interacts with the Silverlight API. So we have our Silverlight is really does all our heavy lifting. When we originally looked at doing this in JavaScript and SVG, because of the performance limitations, we were actually going to be performing a lot of calculations on the server, but that really imposes limitations with scalability, that you have this real singular choke point. Silverlight allowed us to harness a lot of the power that's on the client machine and distribute it so that a lot of our calculations for layout, for clustering and everything, is done at the edge, at the client machines. So it's almost like our little distributed computing network, and everything ends up reporting back from that Silverlight component back to the server and then persisted in the databases too, so that we have that high fidelity over user actions, and none of that information that they calculated is actually lost ever.
Great. So, you know, Snaggle is a released product now. Now that you guys have had some experience with Silverlight, you're looking at some of the stuff coming in Silverlight 3. Where do you guys see Snaggle going, just in terms of usage of Silverlight in general and moving forward with Silverlight 3?
So from an overall perspective, we're looking for Snaggle to take on more diverse data sets, data types. Right now, we really focus Snaggle on the social network analytic realm. I mean, that's where we originally intended for Snaggle to go, and we kind of know the application there, and we saw that. But now we're seeing that Snaggle has a lot more application with a lot more diverse data. For example, one of the key initiatives that we're working on right now in our research and development side is to bring in real-time physical and logical computer network data. So, for example, as a software company, you know, we've built several applications and products that really harness the capabilities of a communication system. So we want to be able to bring in a real-time topology of computer networks, routers, client machines, different peripherals, and be able to sketch that out in real time with Snaggle, and also be able to geo-reference it to a particular area. So as Silverlight becomes more robust and Silverlight 3 is introduced, we think that the capabilities will lead more to us being able to do more advanced analytics in the browser and display richer sets of data, such as this real-time computer network. But as far as Silverlight 3, I think we're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I think Silverlight 3 actually fixes a lot of the limitations that we were looking at. It enables us to do more advanced like bitmap rendering so that we can enhance the UI and give a greater level of usability about what we're actually focused on in the graph. It lets us finally just save things from the client machine. Before it was backwards that you'd have to send back to the server, redirect the user there, and then they'd be prompted to be able to save something back. So forget all that. It's a much, much cleaner way. I think, Todd, you're looking forward to a few other fixes and things.
Yeah, there's quite a few things I've been looking at with Silverlight 3 and playing with on the side related to this, as doing a lot of the design of the front end. You know, Blend 2 was great, but what I'm seeing coming with Blend 3 is really going to improve a lot of that features and functionality and being able to do, especially with the import capabilities from Illustrator and Photoshop 3 that are now, or Photoshop, that are now in Silverlight, Blend 3 anyway. And there's, as Gavin said, the functionality with the new graphics API that is part of Silverlight 3 and the GPU acceleration, the new bitmap effects. There's a lot of underlying things that have been added too. That for me, since I do a lot of the restyling of the controls or creating new controls from scratch, not only are there a lot of new controls being added to Silverlight 3, but the improved functionality to be able to inherit styles from parent style will save a lot of code that I currently have in the XAML, and being able to template bind from one property to another will also make a lot of functionality more efficient.
Yeah, being able to render out to a bitmap, that's probably one of the ones that I'm looking forward to a lot. Since we have this a little bit more advanced versioning that that we can visualize that revision tree, it helps to be able to see exactly what was at that point. So we plan on being able to render out to the bitmap, persist that back to the server, and give a snapshot of what your workspace looked at like in a given point in time. A lot of these really just give that combined effect that really clean up the UI and let the user do what they do only a lot faster.
Yeah, one of the interesting applications of our of Snaggle in our data customers, which are mainly in the intelligence community, is that they usually have lots of entities and lots of nodes that tell a lot about a target network. They have to kind of parse through that and figure out what's important and what's not, and Snaggle helps them get there. But each analyst kind of has a different take on how he gets there and how he or she not only gets there, but what they find important because of what they're told, you know, by their commanders of what's important. That's why the revisioning tree is such a good feature for Snaggle, because we can track what each analyst has done, and it's kind of like a non-linear undo tree, as Gavin puts it. And we're really showing that analyst A went in this direction, and analyst B went in a different direction, and you kind of see what the end result of each of those directions are. And now to be able with Silverlight 3 to actually see that in a snapshot of the graph itself and be able to, at a glance, see 40 different revisions and different analytic interpretations all in a snapshot is powerful. In fact, there's no other social network analysis tool that's doing that, and especially not the browser, so it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it really enables this high level of collaboration too. Like when you have multiple analysts working on one project, for them to be able to join in on a given workspace quickly within their browser, Say somebody emails them a link which contains the snapshot of the graph that they're working on, hop in there, see what the other person was doing, and then go off in a totally new direction. And at the same time, all of this is being done in the thin client, is all being persisted back, and is all being rendered to this higher level for the commander to get this quick view of what everybody beneath them is doing is just incredible.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, one of the key tenets of our company is to look at this kind of converged architecture, and the idea that it's not really about social network analysis, it's more about being able to expose all the transactions that occur in somebody's life. So every day there's lots of transactions that I have on email, on, you know, my smartphone, on, you know, just verbal communications. Being able to capture that and be able to take advantage of, you know, 3G and 4G technologies with cellular, being able to handle much more data, and then being able to visualize that and take advantage of, you know, the analytics that are already embedded in Snaggle to be able to show all of these transactions is really going to be important for us. And Silverlight 3, and as Silverlight progresses, we plan to use all of the capabilities that it brings.